Okay, I was trying to be too fancy, I guess. So, Kelly Langle. Dr. Kelly Langle has a PhD and MPH and is a behavioral scientist at FHI with 20 years of experience in health research and promotion with youth and adults. Her agenda includes HIV prevention with at-risk populations, youth programs and media, family planning promotion, alcohol and substance use interventions, text messaging for health promotion, and message development and testing for health campaigns. Dr. Langle obtained her PhD in health behavior and health education from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and her MPH in behavioral sciences and health education from Emory.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to talk about men's understanding of partial protection of male circumcision in Nyanza Province, Kenya, which I'll show you where that is in just a minute. I want to acknowledge my co-collaborators, Michelle Lanham, Kathy Lancaster, and Moores Lulipit, who are also with FHI 360 in our North Carolina office and also in our Nairobi office. This is research that is supported under the Male Circumcision Consortium, which is a collaborative effort focused on helping the government of Kenya to roll out male circumcision services in Western Kenya, funded by the Gates Foundation. So, I have no disclosures. So let me just talk for a minute about kind of the background to this research endeavor. First of all, medical male circumcision has been shown to reduce HIV risk by about 60%, and the 60% figure is based on evidence from three large randomized controlled trials that were conducted between 2002 and 2006 in South Africa, Uganda, and Kenya. So based on this really compelling evidence, they stopped two of the trials early because the evidence was so consistent and so compelling. The government of Kenya is scaling up what we call VMMC. It stands for voluntary medical male circumcision. They're scaling it up in Western Kenya. That's what this map shows you, the little circled area. HIV prevalence is highest in Western Kenya, along with one other district in Kenya. Recent data shows it at 6.something% overall in Western Kenya in Nyanza province. This is a target community for scaling up male circumcision because it's recommended that men be circumcised in communities where there's high HIV prevalence and low circumcision. And so the Luo are the predominant ethnic group in Western Kenya in that circled area, and they don't traditionally circumcise men. And so you have low circumcision and high HIV prevalence rates. So that's where the scale up is focused on. So there's concern that following VMMC, following medical male circumcision, that risk compensation or engaging in riskier behaviors will happen because men and women may erroneously believe that they're fully protected from HIV and therefore they would compensate their behavior and in fact engage in riskier behaviors. So the goal of this study was to examine men's understanding of partial HIV protection from voluntary medical male circumcision. Partial protection is the term that we give to a 60% protective effect. It's also a term that's talked about more and more in some of our other HIV preventive technologies that do a really good job of reducing risk from HIV. We have new microbicide research coming out that's also has these really high levels. It shows really high levels of risk reduction, and so you have the same issue there. So this concept of partial protection is something that's very relevant and topical and concerning in the HIV prevention world. The data that I'm presenting today are from in-depth interviews that were conducted as part of a three-phase study. The goal of the study is to recommend communication messages to enhance understanding of partial protection and encourage men's and women's use of HIV protective measures following circumcision. So I'm just going to present the data from our in-depth interviews. One thing that I do want to note is that one of those three seminal RCTs was conducted in Nyanza province in Kenya. And so when I go through these findings, I think it's important to kind of interpret them through the lens of this is a community where since male circumcision was something that was highly talked about, and the research trial was a big deal there. There was a lot of publicity around it, that it's quite possible that our findings are biased, perhaps to be so that the results are showing men are more highly aware of male circumcision and partial protection than they might be in more research or more VMMC naive communities. So the recruitment for our study, it was through health clinics and community mobilizers. So generally men who are out there in communities encouraging men to get circumcised. So the study was conducted in two districts in Nyanza. Kisumu East is an urban area. It's the big city in Nyanza province. And Siaya District is a more rural district several hours away from Kisumu. And we recruited men who were circumcised in the last 6 months or who were planning to get circumcised within the next 3 months. So we interviewed a total of 44 men. They were recruited to be between 18 and 39 years old. On average, they were 25 years old. Less than half of them were married, about half reported working for money, and about half reported completing secondary school or higher. God bless you. So those are our men. And then we conducted in-depth interviews by well-trained research assistants. The interviews were conducted mostly in Dulua, which is the language that's typically spoken in Nyanza. And the transcripts were audio recorded, translated, and transcribed, and we analyzed them using in vivo quality. So, what did we learn? So, men were asked, have you heard that male circumcision provides partial protection from getting HIV? So, all 44 of our in-depth interview subjects said that they had heard about this. So where did they learn about it from? They learned about it primarily from the voluntary medical male circumcision VMMC counseling, also from radio broadcasts, friends and peers, community education and outreach, and at health facilities, including hospitals and HIV testing centers. So they were asked to specify how much VMMC reduces a man's chances of getting HIV. We wanted to know if they had actually were familiar with that 60% message, which is all over the communications coming out of Nyanza province. So most men were familiar with it. They reported a reduction between 50 and 60%. We also asked them on a 4-point scale how much reduction male circumcision afforded a man in terms of reducing their HIV risk. And on a 4-point scale, most of them said that it provided a moderate reduction. Circumcised men were more likely than uncircumcised men to be familiar with the 60% term and also to report a moderate reduction. So these are some of the ways men were asked how they would explain to a male friend, a wife, girlfriend, or other sex partner that male circumcision provides partial protection from HIV. Analyses of the responses to this question and other questions in the interview guide about the meaning of partial protection revealed a lot of different ways that, or strategies, kind of approaches that men are using to describe partial protection. So this is kind of a laundry list. I'm going to show you some quotes from the kind of the top three. That graphic in the bottom is one of the communication materials that you'll commonly see in Nyanza province. I should also mention that not only is this community, we suspect that they're certainly more familiar with male circumcision than other communities, but also there is, along with the government of Kenya's scale up of male circumcision, there also is a big focus on communicating about male circumcision to encourage uptake of it, but also to make sure that people understand partial protection. And so I'll talk about this at the end, but we've been doing an analysis of the communication materials in Nyanza, and there is a big emphasis on partial protection. And so this is just one of a snapshot of what you might see. So let me show you the three most common ways that men describe partial protection. The first is that circumcised men need to continue using other protective measures, including condoms, being faithful to one partner, reducing sexual partners, and regularly testing for HIV following VMMC. So, sorry, actually I have two quotes there. So y'all can just read these for yourself. Kisumu East is the more urban area, and Siaya is the more rural area. This is really interesting, this top quote around the 60%, and it says now your vulnerability is not at 100% but at 40%. So with the 40%, you can use other methods to protect yourself to bridge the gap of 40. So I'll come back to that in the conclusions, but we heard a lot of talk around I'm not 100%, I still have 40% to get fully protected. So we found that very interesting. So a second way that men commonly explain partial protection was using percentages, such as circumcision is not 100% protective, or it reduces HIV risk by 60%, or in fact 40% remains. You see that in these a little bit. And then finally, the third most common way that men describe partial protection was through the perceived mechanism of action. So how or why is it that a circumcised man is less likely to transmit HIV to a woman? And so we heard a lot about the foreskin doesn't hide germs anymore. There's a reduction in penile bruising and bleeding after circumcision, things like that. So these two quotes both illustrate this type of explanation. So we also asked men to estimate their own HIV risk and changes in risk following medical male circumcision. So we asked them to do this using three different types of indicators. So first was a general measure of change, second was a numeric scale, and then third we asked them to give us the reasons that they gave their own personal risk estimates. So what did we see? Participants estimated that VMMC would reduce their risk by a moderate amount, and so on average before circumcision they were at high HIV risk, and after circumcision on average they reported being at moderate risk. On a 10-point scale, with 10 being very high, before circumcision, the average risk score that we got from our 44 participants was 7.5, and then after VMMC, they said their risk score was reduced to 2.9. Anyone who's really quick with math, what's really interesting here is it's an average reduction of 61.3%. And then finally, when we asked them why they chose their pre-circumcision risk score, they typically said it's because they were not circumcised, they weren't using protection like condoms, or they had more than one sexual partner. And then when we asked them why their risk reduced following circumcision, they said it was because they were less susceptible to HIV infection due to the counseling they received, being circumcised, improvements in their penile hygiene, and positive changes that they had made in their sexual behaviors after VMMC. So, which brings me to our next slide. So we asked men directly if they had changed their behavior after being circumcised, and we asked uncircumcised men if they would change their behavior, since one of the main goals of the study was to actually try and investigate is risk compensation occurring in this small sample of men. So most of the circumcised men reported that if they get circumcised, they will not change their behaviors, but in fact will continue the preventive measures they use. So a young uncircumcised man from Thiaya said, no, I won't change so that I may not get infected, because getting circumcised is not a certificate that you will not get infected. Pretty good understanding of partial protection. Some men specified that they would increase the number of protective measures that they take after circumcision. A number of circumcised men noted that condoms are easier to use after circumcision. We see this in other research too. And some said that they had, in fact, increased their condom use as a result. And so this is one of the really interesting things that is coming out of our study and some other studies that are being conducted around male circumcision, that circumcised men who were uncircumcised before often say that condom use is in fact easier, and so there may be an indication that they're using condoms more. And then finally, very few men said that they would actually decrease their HIV protective behaviors. So very few men actually indicated risk compensation following VMMC. Circumcised men spoke about sex being more pleasurable following male circumcision. And as a result, a few men indicated that they had sex more often, but typically with their current sexual partner. We did hear from one or two men who said that they have actually added another partner. We know from others' research, we didn't really investigate this in our own research, we didn't hear it, but that there may be something happening where immediately after men get circumcised, there's kind of this curiosity stage, and so they may immediately be having more sex or adding more sexual partners because they want to see what sex is like now that they're circumcised. We don't have evidence in our data from that, except for kind of here and there. So there's a couple quotes there, and then just kind of the general conclusion. So first of all, this data really indicates that the men in our sample had a really good understanding of partial protection, and particularly those who were circumcised. There was high awareness about the link between circumcision and HIV reduction. They got the moderate and that it's not 100% protective. And there was really high numeric literacy. Like, that was something that we didn't expect. I mentioned earlier that a lot of men talked about they got to kind of top up to 100%. They need to use other protective measures after circumcision because there's still 40% risk remaining. So that's really interesting because, of course, the 60% protective effect that we talk about as the results from these RCTs in the three African countries, of course, that's a population level statistic, and it doesn't apply to an individual. And it also doesn't work to say, I'm 60% protected, and so I need to, you know, get up to 100%. There's 40% risk remaining. However, what's really interesting about that is that even though it's not scientifically accurate, from a communication standpoint, it seems to actually be working. So that 60% is enough for men to want to get circumcised, but it's not so much that we're seeing risk compensation. And so there's kind of a gap there between what's scientifically accurate and what might be working from a communications perspective. Messaging about male circumcision in Nyanza province is very, very well, very, very widespread. They're getting messages from everywhere. One thing that we're learning is that the VMMC counseling, right, so this is the counseling that they undergo. Typically, it seems like it's more in a group setting, or maybe there will be a couple men. Sometimes it's couples counseling, rarely one-on-one though, but that this counseling is incredibly important for men, and that VMMC is not just kind of a clinical procedure, but it's also a behavioral intervention that's kind of a package of HIV prevention services that includes HIV testing, counseling about not just circumcision, but also how to use condoms and reduce your partners and things like that. So there's little evidence from this sample that risky behavior increases following VMMC, but instead what we're seeing is that actually we heard more frequently that men were increasing their HIV protective behaviors after VMMC, as opposed to decreasing their HIV protective behaviors. And then finally, participants made consistent and perhaps even accurate, if you can say that, assessments of their individual HIV risk using multiple methods. So we thought that was really interesting. So the next steps in the study, and I will tell you that the study has been completed. However, that was phase one. And then phase two, we actually used the data from phase one to create communication concepts. And the communication concepts were focused on promoting use of HIV protective measures after circumcision. Because, as I said, we really learned that there's a big opportunity here and that maybe we could even increase the impact of male circumcision on the HIV epidemic if we really kind of seize this opportunity. So that was what we did in phase two. Phase two focus groups. We also did a content analysis of a sample of communication materials in Nyanza province. So we included print media, radio broadcasts. We recorded counseling sessions, and we recorded community education events because we wanted to see what types of messages are being put out, focused mostly on partial protection, but also in general around medical circumcision. And then all of this. We also collected data from women. We had an in-depth interview phase and a focus group phase. So we also did that. So that's it. Thank you.